Part of our responsibility as believers is to outwork God's purpose for our lives, outwork his kingdom. And we've been looking at, to do that, you need to be able to operate in a place where God has assigned you and seated you in the heavenly realms. And there's positions of lordship, kingship, sonship. Our thrones are in the heavenly realms. All the blessings of God are in the heavenly realms. So we need to learn how to access them there. When we're seated there, we can then begin to establish some government. The kingdom is about God's rule, God's reign. And he wants that on earth as it is in heaven. And we get to do some of the as it is in heaven of the kingdom as sons of God, joint heirs of that kingdom. And then as a gateway of heaven, all our lives can begin to fill and expand the boundaries that we have on earth to see the kingdom of God fill the earth. Esther 4:14 says, and who knows whether you've been called to the kingdom for or royalty for a time such as this. And I can say that I know, and God knows that you have. Every one of us in this room has been called specifically for this time, and every one of us, our spirits were created in eternity as a desire in the heart of God for a relationship. He expressed that in his thoughts within his mind and spoke us into existence for such a time as this, every single person. And whether you know it or not, you have a destiny to fulfill, which will bring eternity into convergence with time, so that God's will and purpose, which is for all of us to come into a relationship with him, will come into this time that we're living in. So of all the times in history that you could have been born, you've been chosen for now. And I can think of a lot of times in history I wouldn't have liked to be born in, personally. So I'm very happy to be born now in a time where God is accelerating his purposes, and a time where it talks about in the Bible that the ends of the ages have come, because there are new ages to come when we've fulfilled and restored fully this age. So the enemy's tried to rob, kill, and destroy our destiny as sons of the kingdom to stop us fulfilling God's purpose. And he'll do everything he possibly can to stop us knowing God personally and individually and having a relationship with him. And then as believers, he'll do everything he can to rob us of our identity, keeping us with a slavery mentality rather than a sonship mentality. And religion is a system which is man-made, which the enemy uses to keep us in bondage and not bring us into the freedom of God's intention for us as his children. So it's time for us to rise up and serve the purpose of God in our generation. You know, God is calling us to serve his purpose now. And there's a generation that we're part of, and there's another generation to come that we're responsible to be involved with. Isaiah 42:9 says, behold, former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I will proclaim them to you. God is proclaiming new things, and old things have come to pass. So it's really important that we're aware of what those old things are, because when they're old, they don't have any use anymore. And in reality, a lot of things that we have done in the past, which are now already fulfilled, and those things have already come to pass, we don't need to try and hang on to them and keep using them. And think of that in your own life. You know, things in the past may have not brought such good results. So then why would you want to keep doing things that don't give good results? But we can get tricked and have been addicted to certain things, which we can't let go of very easily. But God wants us to embrace new things. And that will be in our own personal lives. It will be what we do corporately. So God is revealing those new things in our day. Those things were once sealed up, but now they're being unveiled. We often try and cling on to the comfortable and familiar, and that's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness. They were fed every day from heaven. You know, they had water from a rock that followed them around. They had everything, in a sense, other than the promises that God had actually called them to come into, which wasn't the wilderness. It was a promised land. Old forms of church, ministry, prayer are being challenged by a new, fresh revelation of truth. It's always been true. It's always been the truth, but it's being revealed in a way that we can understand it differently today. Matthew 9:16, Jesus was talking about old and new things. No one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. What he was saying is, when God gives you something new, you know, don't try and patch it up. what you have, the old. So you have an old piece of cloth, an old garment. Don't patch it up with new things because it won't work. And people are trying to patch up new forms of church in without changing effectively. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wineskins burst and the wine pours out and the wineskins are ruined. They put new wine into fresh wineskins, both are preserved. Well, what's he talking about? He's actually talking about people. So he's talking about, as people, God wants us to be renewed and not be old. He's also talking about the way we come together and gather as a church. And those are described as wineskins, the flexible structures that we should have, not the rigid structures that we often have. And what happens with an old wineskin, it becomes rigid and hard and doesn't flex enough to take wine, which is new. Matthew 6:18, it says, I will say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia or church. And the Greek word, which was the translation of the Aramaic that they spoke, is ecclesia. We have an Anglo-Saxon word which we use for church. And it carries with it all sorts of connotations which weren't there in the original, what it really meant. And Jesus was saying here that upon the confession that Peter made, that Jesus is the Son of God, he will build his church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. So, if we're going to use those keys of the kingdom, the authority and power of God, then they have to be things done in heaven first. So if we're going to use them to bind something, then that must have been bound in heaven, and we get to do the binding in heaven. If we're going to use them to loose things, then they must have been loosed in heaven. And we do that in a heavenly perspective so that we can establish things on the earth. And Jesus linked these two things together, of him building his church and us having the keys of the kingdom to establish government on the earth. So Jesus builds the ecclesia with people as living stones of all shapes and sizes. And it's people who are the living stones of the ecclesia. It isn't an organizational structure. 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones are being built as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In the old order of things, in the old covenant, they had certain special people called priests who would only be able to access the temple or the different structures that they had at that point, tabernacle before that, and only certain people could do that. But in the new covenant, we're all royal priests. We're all holy priests. We're all giving access to engage in the things of God in a deeper way. And as living stones, then we actually are what the wineskin is. So if we don't remain flexible and able to grow and mature, then everything stays as it always was. So it's really down to us. It's not that we're going to have a massive structure. It's actually people who embrace their destiny, and as they do, that will begin to create a house, as a term, which is an ecclesia, which will fulfill God's purpose. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So to engage it, we need to come out of darkness into light, and that we could see as, well, I didn't know God once, so I was in the dark, and then I saw the light and turned to the light, and now I know the light, so I know God. And actually, we can also see it as believers, we can still have darkness covering us, so we can't see the truth. And God wants us to come into the truth and to actually see the reality of who we are as those living stones. So the ecclesia is the Greek word from which we get the English word church. It really means people gathered together around a heavenly vision. That's my interpretation of it, but it's about people gathering. It's not about a structure. Jesus builds the ecclesia with people, not with organizational structures. Now, there are organizational structures that help us do things, but it's people who serve God using those things. It's not the other way around. We don't serve a structure or an organization. So we are those people And we are the new wineskin, and God dwells in us by Spirit. So the old wineskin, God dwelt in a temple, in a city, in a nation, and they're only one of them. Now he dwells in every single person who receives him. And therefore, by his Spirit, we are that new wineskin. So the kingdom of God, his rule, his reign, is now in us. That gives us access to heaven's governmental authority as his children. So we're gateways of heaven so that the kingdom can flow through us. We are living stones that God uses to build his ecclesia and his expand his kingdom. Because the church is not a club for its members. It's actually a group of people who are there for the world, because God wants to bring good news to the whole world, to bring restoration to the world, to bring the world back to its original purpose. And God uses his people to do that and to expand his rule and his government through us as individuals. So an ecclesia, both individually and corporately, is a shadow of what is established in heaven, which is God's blueprint, God's plan, God's architect's drawing. Now, to get a shadow of something on the earth, you have to stand where between the earth and the light. So where God is light and God is in heaven, if we're not in heaven, then you're not going to get a shadow of that on the earth. Both individually or corporately, we have to be in a place where the light shines to produce that. So that shadow is only when we are in heaven, and then God can then fill that on the earth through us. So we live under heavenly kingdom authority that we establish as sons of God. Now, God is sovereign, but he's chosen to operate through his children. So he's given us authority as his children to establish the kingdom in heaven so it can be outworked on the earth. So a new wineskin ecclesia will not be a building or an organization or just meetings. It will carry something of a whole different thing, of a mandate that gives a blueprint for restoration. And God calls us to bring restoration to the world, to the created order, full stop. And he won't come back to start a new age until we've actually fulfilled the responsibility in this age to restore that. So we've got quite a lot of work to do. But we've got a lot of authority and power to be able to do that also. So the ecclesia will be the wineskin of an embassy of heaven on earth. And I want to talk today about embassies of heaven, what it is to operate as an embassy. And we might have various ideas of what embassies are and ambassadors are, but I want to explain some of that. Because if we're going to be an ecclesia that's going to be able to fulfill our mandate to bring transformation to our community and beyond, then we need to understand the explanation of what an embassy is. So God is calling people out of old religious structures, and he's calling a new generation who will accept their destiny inheritance. And God is raising up the Joshua generation who will help those people, those next united generation, by mentoring them. To do that, you have to be a forerunner and have gone before to help those who follow, which is what Joshua did. Joshua spied out the land of the promised land, and then he gave a good report and encouraged people to cross over and engage that for themselves. And they didn't. So they wasted 40 years opportunity, and all those people died when they didn't need to, if they just accepted that God called them into something different and something new. But they stayed with the old. They stayed with the comfortable, familiar, and wonderful supernatural miracles that God did, but it wasn't maturity. They were still thinking like slaves rather than sons. At a conference in worship, I saw Joshua and Joseph, and they came and they stood on my left and right, and Enoch stand behind me and Daniel stand before me. Now, they are what we call the cloud of witnesses. Technically, I guess Enoch never died, so I'm not quite sure what his technical term is, but he's in the realms of heaven. And Joseph and Joshua held up my hands to strengthen me, and they were part of the things. Once someone asked me, well, what's the difference between the cloud of witnesses and men in white linen? And I actually think that the men in white linen are those who are assigned and on assignment. So they're called and they engage as men in white linen when they're on assignment from heaven, and they're assigned to us in this generation, having run their race, their lap of the relay race, if you like, and passed the baton on to the next generations. But they don't give up and just go and sit on a cloud with a harp somewhere in heaven. They're cheering us on. They're surrounding us. That's what it says. They're invested into what we do, and they've got a desire that we will fulfill what they did in the first lap. So Joshua's generation actually has a different spirit, will be forerunners and pioneers beyond the veil. That's the thing. They had to cross over the Jordan to see another promised land. That's what the Jordan represents to us. Going into the realms of heaven through the veil that Jesus has torn and made open for us to come. The Joshua generation were giant slayers because there were some giants in the land. You know, that's what put some of the other ones off, because they didn't see themselves as giant slayers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, and they thought the giants would just crush them. But the reality is, when you are see yourselves as who you are in God, then nothing is impossible for you to do, and nothing can crush you, because Jesus says he's put the enemy under our feet. So we're not going to be under the enemy's feet. The enemy needs to be under our feet. So the Joshua generation will mentor that next generation, so that that next generation will come into the fullness of their supernatural heavenly inheritance as sons of God. So I want to see people come out of Egypt, which is the world, where before they're Christians, and not have to go through the wilderness, but go straight into the promised land. If that's going to be possible, then we need to have places that represent the fullness of the promised land that people can come into. So the Joshua generation will also be Joseph, Daniel, and Enoch generation, which is why those four men in white linen came around me, and it was a demonstration that they were wanting to be involved, because we have a mandate here to equip and raise up a Joshua generation. So Enoch 5:24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, you don't read too much about Enoch, you know, but you read a lot about it in a book which is written about him. And you can also read some things in the New Testament, because Enoch, actually, he walked with God in the realms of heaven, and he outworked that on the earth. And so that's an example of what we need to do to be able to walk in the realms of heaven and outwork that on the earth. Enoch actually prophesied about our day, and he prophesied about the Lord coming with 10,000 of his holy ones, thousands and thousands. So we're called to walk like Enoch in the realms of heaven. Daniel, why is it a Daniel generation that we're living in? Daniel 12:4, Daniel concealed these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. I believe that's a description of today. People are going through and through all over the earth, and knowledge is increasing at a dramatic rate. If you go back 100 years and see how big the Encyclopedia Britannica might have been then, and now look at what it is now, there has been a massive increase of knowledge and information. And God is bringing it at the end of time. So one day, time will be no more as we know it. Things are being unveiled. So Daniel saw into our day, sealed the books up, and now those books are unsealed for our generation. So there's revelation of things that has never been seen before by the church. That's why we're getting new revelation of the things that God's doing, because it is being released in a way not seen before. And then there's the Joseph generation. And I really like Joseph. I like Joseph's story. I like the fact that he had a vision. He went through a whole preparation for that vision and ended up in a few difficult places. And what happened to him, Genesis 41:14, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, because Joseph had interpreted supernaturally a dream. And they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon, and when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, so there's a sense where he came out of an old thing with old clothes and looking pretty disheveled, I'd imagined, and God completely restored him, just like the prodigal son, if you like, gave him new clothes, new ring. Everything was things. And then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? Well, the answer was yes. And if you look around, and I'm looking around, those of you who have the divine spirit of God within you, could be the same could be said about you today. Can we find someone whom God's spirit's in? Why would he want someone who's in God's spirit's in? Because of the power and authority that that brought. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, so God showed Joseph through Urim interpretation, there is no one so discerning as you and wise as you are. You shall be over my house. So Joseph came out of the prison of obscurity to administrate a nation. And some of you might think, how could I possibly do something like that? Well, you have a destiny, and your destiny as sons of God is to bring God's kingdom and to bring God's government and to bring God's rule into the earth. So no matter where you are right now, and some of you might feel like you're in a prison, some of you over there, but in reality, you can be brought out of that place and brought into the world stage to fulfill your destiny and God's purpose if you're willing to yield and surrender your lives to him. Now, what Joseph did, he set up storehouses, because the dream was for 7 good years and then 7 bad years of harvest. So he was wise and he set up storehouses to receive 20% of the harvest that was brought. And then once they had that store and there was famine all over the world, the whole world came to him, including his brothers and parents who rejected him. So we might have been rejected by people, but not by God. And ultimately, in the position of government authority as sons, then we rule. And God is calling us to establish those storehouses. So we're being called to administrate this new wineskin of God's ecclesia, which is a storehouse to receive the harvest. So we're called to establish those embassies of heaven, storehouses on the earth, operating under heavenly authority, so that the harvest can be received. That next united generation that God wants to reach is not going to reach unless we're ready to receive them. And therefore, we need to be ready to disciple people. Isaiah 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, deep darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples." And you can look around the world, and it's not too light a place in some places. But the glory of God is arisen upon us. So what do we need to do? Arise and shine. So we need to radiate that glory. We need to be transfigured like Jesus was to radiate the glory of God, but we have to arise. So we have to go from the places where we are on the earth into the place where we're seated in the heavens. And then it says, "The Lord will rise upon you and the glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising." So if we are in the place of being arisen and seated in the heavens, and we are then radiating that on the earth, then it will draw people and it will draw nations. So, you know, think of the worst thing that can happen in the world. I don't know, think of some plague and that everyone's dying and we're in a place where there's no sickness. Where do you think people would want to go? They'd want to go to a place where there's no sickness. So there might be huge changes take place in the world, and people will start to come when we demonstrate the power and authority of heaven's government on the earth, and they will be drawn to it. Isaiah 2:2 talks about the same thing. "It will come about in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord." Now, mountain is a symbol of authority, power. The house of the Lord, well, we've already seen that we're supposed to be God's household, will be established as chief of the mountains, chief of all the authorities in the earth, and it will be raised above the hills. So it's described as chief of the mountains, but in comparison, the rest of the world's structures are just like hills compared to God's kingdom when it's raised up. But if it isn't raised up, then it's just like a mountain like everything else. And what happens? All the nations will stream to it. It's a promise that God has given that people will stream to the mountain of the house of the Lord, the ecclesia of God, the embassy of heaven on earth, when it's risen up. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." Why? Because we will got the answers. So God is calling to a generation who've been through the wilderness years. Now, we've all probably been through the wilderness years in one way or another in our lives. He's calling to the Joshua generation to arise and shine. He's calling a people to cross over and take possession of their inheritance. He wants us to come into the fullness of who he intended us to be in our identity, our authority, the position that he's given us as his sons to occupy as pioneers the land and bring restoration to it. I was here one Sunday morning and we were engaging in praising God and worshiping God. And often, you know, I just get lost in those times. And I remember I was standing in front of the four faces of God around the Ark of the Presence of God. And I stepped into the four faces and I was given a fiery scroll in each hand. And that scroll was for the Joshua generation and for the harvest, the billionfold harvest that's been prophesied that's coming. And immediately I was translated to be simultaneously standing before all the governmental buildings and palaces of the earth. It was a really unique experience. And it was like, and it was part of my journey to be understanding how you can be in multiple places at one time. And I was just there and I was thinking, and what I did there before earthly governmental structures, those hills that I was describing, I declared the establishing of the Joshua generation and cities of refuge in every nation. Because God wants to see his kingdom impact every family of the earth. That was the covenant, the promise he gave to Abraham, that every family of the earth would be blessed. And I decreed and declared that. And as a people here, we have a mandate to be responsible for those scrolls, for that harvest and for that Joshua generation. So we're in a new era, where the government of heaven and its judicial authority is being released to the sons. And this is what God said. You know, he said to my sons, I'm releasing this. Call to the sons of men to come to their eternal position to establish heavenly government on the earth. The call is to the Joshua generation to prepare for the harvest. And that is the call that we're responding to. That's why we need to look at a new wineskin. That's why we need to look at what wineskin is as an embassy of heaven on the earth. So we need to see it, the establishing of these things. Now, there are lots of different names people are using out there. Apostolic resource centers, and that's one of the things that God's called us to be. Habitations of God, places where God comes and dwells. Gardens of God, because it's a restoration of the garden that God gave man, East in Eden. Cities of refuge. Now, cities of refuge has very different connotations depending on who you talk to. So some people in America are called preppers. Would see that as places of where they're going to store all their food and guns, and then when bad things come, they'd have this place so that they can be safe. Doesn't really mean that. Storehouses for the harvest, embassies of heaven on earth. I like the embassies of heaven and storehouse definition. Essentially, what it is, it's living under a higher spiritual authority and the law of heaven, living in an overlap of heaven and earth, so that heaven and earth begin to function together. So Philippians 3:20 says our citizenship is in heaven. So we're not citizens of the earth in the same way as we used to. Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. That's why we're citizens of a different place. We're citizens of a heavenly supernatural kingdom living on the earth, but ruling from heaven. An embassy is occupied by people from the nation it represents, not the nation it lives in. So an ambassador and diplomatic officials representing the interests of the country of origin live and work in an embassy. We're all ambassadors and diplomatic officials with immunity, if you like, from the laws of the country it's based in. So we're not subject to the laws of this earth if we know our authority from a heavenly perspective. And you see this in TV programs all the time. They have diplomatic plates on the car so they can't be stopped, you know. And it's like we need to know our authority as ambassadors of heaven so we can use that authority on the earth. Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. Ephesians 2:19, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens and saints are of God's household. So God is with us. He's in us. Will we allow God to flow through us? Because that's the purpose of being on earth, is to flow heaven into the earth as a gateway. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So we're looking to bring reconciliation to the world. Everyone who's separated from God and does not go God personally, God is calling us to be a demonstration of his kingdom and that relationship that we have with God so that it will cause people to be reconciled to God because they will be drawn to the light that we shine with in that relationship. Paul said this in Ephesians 6:20, I am an ambassador in chains that in proclaiming the kingdom, I may speak boldly. So even though he was actually in prison, he didn't see that as a limitation for what he was doing. And he wrote letters and did things when he was in prison that still have impact on people today. because he saw that he was proclaiming the kingdom, that rule of God. So an ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as a representative in residence by one government or sovereign to another. That's the dictionary definition. Another dictionary definition, an authorized messenger or representative. And we're all authorized messengers with and representative of heaven's government on the earth. An agent, apostolic delegate, messenger, minister, emissary, or other terms that the Bible says for an ambassador. So we're all of those. We carry heavenly authority into the earth as his children. Or you carry no authority if you're not his children. What would you rather have? Authority over everything or have no authority over anything? Well, I know what I'd rather have. But we're learning to understand the nature of our sonship and that authority. John 15:19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. So we're citizens of another kingdom. John 17:18, you sent me into the world. I have also sent them into the world. So Jesus was sent into the world by God, and now he's sending us into the world to represent him and represent his kingdom. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So we're all sent as ambassadors of heaven into this world. So this makes us ambassadors, citizens of another kingdom, heaven, living on earth as gateways of heaven on earth, so that we can bring heaven to the earth. God wants it as it is in heaven on the earth. That's what the kingdom's about. So as ambassadors, we take our orders and get our authority from heaven, not the earth, which is why we all need to be able to engage God personally ourselves and not go through somebody else. If you go through somebody else as a mediator and a head, they have the authority and they delegate it to you, which doesn't work too well. So God wants to change that so that you know that you have authority direct from God because you have a relationship where you can hear his voice and engage with him. So we're protected by heavenly protection. Our provision comes from heaven. We live by the laws of heaven, the economy of the political system of the government of heaven, not earth. Now we're learning to appreciate how to function that because all the spiritual blessings are in the heavenly realms. And for generations, we've tried to get heaven open in some way and draw down those blessings in many, many different ways that people have been taught to do it. And none of them have really worked too well. So we need to learn how to go into heaven, seated in a place of heaven where we're seated in Christ in heavenly places, and access those things to manifest them on the earth through us. So we're like the characteristics of an ambassador, let's say of the UK, based in another country. And that's what an embassy is. So the embassy is British soil, protected by British troops, taking orders from Whitehall, representing British interests under British laws and culture. You don't go to another country and then try and fit into the culture that you're in. You remain with the culture of the country who sent you. So embassies are in constant contact with the home country. They don't operate from personal opinions, but they get orders from HQ. And that's what God is calling us to do. Get our directives from heaven. So we're tasked more than just representing the interests of heaven. So an ambassador in one sense, and this is where the analogy falls down, because an ambassador represents the interests, but isn't going to colonize that country. Whereas actually we're called to colonize it, the world. So as citizens of heaven, we carry heaven's authority. We each have a kingship to exercise because we're royal priests over a sphere of life to rule over. And we have spheres of influence. We call them our mountains, our governmental spheres that each of us have. Every one of us has specific things that God's given us to establish the kingdom on earth in our lives. And when we come together, all those things work together. So we need to demonstrate God's power, his authority, through our kingship so that the kingdom of God expands, doesn't stay limited within a protected place. It has to expand those borders. So we're representing one kingdom, heaven, in another kingdom, earth. We live by the laws of heaven. The ecclesia is like an embassy territory on foreign soil, which is us. We are it. So wherever you are, You are part of that embassy and you have the authority to rule where you are. And you're protected by heavenly authority. So we're not to be influenced by earthly culture, society, customs, but to influence and transform them from a heavenly perspective. Well, obviously there's a lot of work to do because we need to be renewed, we need to be changed, we need to be transformed to be able to do that. The more time we hang around in heaven, the more we become like heaven is and the more we can represent heaven on the earth. So we're ambassadors of heaven, sons of light, sons of the kingdom to colonize the world. That's God's intention. It was never to be in a garden that was limited. It was to subdue and to rule the whole earth. Genesis 1:28 is our mandate as sons. God blessed them. He empowered them to succeed and prosper. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. That is our mandate. That is our authority. That is what God's kingdom is about. That's why we need to be ecclesias that are storehouses and embassies that carry that authority and outwork it through our lives. Therefore, each of us should not be subject to the world. It's not just what we do corporately, because we're all representatives, ambassadors individually for that. So we're to terraform the earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's an exciting prospect. You know, now you can look at it and think, that's just something, you're just talking complete nonsense. Well, we'll see. Because God is calling us to take responsibility for the restoration of all things, to bring things back to God's original purpose. So we live under kingdom authority. That means we have a new health service. We don't have to be reliant on the National Health Service. And if you're in another country, you don't have a National Health Service, tough. But you don't have to be reliant on whatever you've got in your countries. Essentially, we have healing and health. Healing is to demonstrate God's power over sickness to the world. We should be living in health as God's people. And God wants to show us that we can embrace a heavenly, healthy perspective. There is no sickness in heaven. So if we're living from heaven's authority place, we need to learn to come into health. And yes, we need to bring healing to each other until we get to that place of health. But we have gifts of healing and we have healing power to be able to do that. But we need to demonstrate that to the world. There's a new economic and financial services. We're not going to be subject to the banks of this world. Because God, through Jesus, showed that there are supernatural ways of getting help, of getting wealth. And it doesn't just have to come through the natural ways. And if those financial systems collapse and we're not subject to them, then people are going to be looking for, well, how come you're living in a blessed state and we're suffering through famine and poverty? So we need to demonstrate a different thing. A new education system. We're not going to be reliant on being taught by the education system of the world. We're going to get revelation from heaven. New society, paradise restored. Because God wanted the garden to be paradise. New speech, new attitudes, new ideals, new culture, new behaviors, abilities, powers, heaven, transform the earth. Those are the things we can expect from God's kingdom. So an embassy will be a heavenly, have heavenly mandates and blueprints to enable us to know what to build. What does that embassy look like? What does the ecclesia look like? Well, it's determined by the living stones that are drawn together to establish that blueprint, that diagram, that map, plan. So an embassy will have heavenly pattern of government that is representative of heaven, not earth. That's why we're looking to have reflections of that government, benches of 3, 7, 12, rather than the old structures of government that we were looking to have. So that's why heaven's government is bottom up, not top down. So everything in government is about serving others to hear God for themselves. So an embassy has authority which gives authorization to operate on behalf of heaven. So we have heaven's authority. We have authority to speak on behalf of God. And you can look at that through the Old Testament and you can see prophets, those who are called to speak, they spoke with authority on behalf of God. And certain prophets said it's not going to rain, Elijah, for 3 years, and it didn't. Now, can you imagine the authority that the world would see when God's people started to speak like that? Well, that is the authority we need to learn to use as sons to be able to speak and do the things that Jesus did. He stopped storms. He walked on water. He walked through people. He hid himself, disappeared in front of people's eyes. He did miraculous things, which were all demonstrations of the kingdom. the authority of heaven on the earth. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He did miracle and miraculous things as a supernatural demonstration. Because what did he come and preach? The kingdom is here. The authority of God is here. The power of God is here. Here's this demonstration of it. So all of us have that supernatural power at our disposal if we are functioning from a heavenly perspective. Now, when Rome built an empire, it used to have some key insights to how it would do that by establishing infrastructure and culture. And in this nation, we still have some Roman roads because they built some really good straight roads, because that helped them get to different parts of the country quickly and easily so they could subdue and rule the nation. And what they did, they would send 300 citizens behind the army once the army had taken and won some of the battles, and they would set up a territory which was called the Castropone to be an influence for dominion. Those people would live as an embassy of Rome in that nation, and they would assimilate all the people around and bring them under the rule of Rome. And that brought a lot of good things, probably a lot of bad things as well, because it's an earthly example, but some good things like Roman baths. You know, I went to Ephesus and looked in there. They had some amazing things in Ephesus that the Romans had built, and they were way before their time in terms of health and, you know, toilets, things like that. So all sorts of good stuff. But they set up something which would influence for the dominion of Rome so that Rome could assimilate it. And therefore, they set up Roman nations, effectively, under Rome's government. That is an illustration of what God wants us to do. The Ecclesia should be a colony of heaven. To colonize is our mission, to expand the kingdom and colonize. And the kingdom is going to fill the earth. Daniel 2:35, a stone that struck the statue, and this is describing a stone which was cut without hands, became a great mountain, a great symbol of authority, the mountain of the house of the Lord, and filled the whole earth. We win. I've read the end of the book. We win. It's just, when are we going to win? And that will be determined by those who are willing to embrace their sonship and start to rule now. Otherwise, another generation will have to be raised up. I don't want to see another generation waste their opportunity to establish the kingdom on earth as is in heaven. In those days, the kings of God of heaven will set up a kingdom. And this is what happened when Jesus came to establish the kingdom. And when he was resurrected, went back into heaven, God gave him the authority to the kingdom. And he then gave it to the people, the saints of the Most High. And now they have the authority for the kingdom. It will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. So it's not going to be some other group. It's going to be God's people, the ecclesia that he's building. And it will crush and put to end of all the other kingdoms. And it will itself endure forever. So we're representatives of a kingdom that is going to win. It's just, what part are we going to play in it? Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, Jesus, and the government will rest on his shoulders. There will be no end to the increase of his government and of peace on the throne of David, over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. God is committed to this. He will get it done. It's just whether we want to be part of it or not. Now, the reality is Jesus is now the head of the church. Therefore, the government is now placed on his shoulders, which is the body, which is the church. Then there'll be no end to the increase of that government. So Jesus came preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. Many of the parables were about the kingdom and its value system. And I'd encourage you to read them and engage them, but do it from a fresh perspective. Jesus was preparing his disciples to expand the kingdom. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came up and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations." And another version says, "Disciple the nations." Using the authority, all of it, in heaven and on earth. Matthew 13:24, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." Matthew verse 37, he said, "The one who sows this good seed is the Son of Man. The seed is the field is the world, and as for the good seed, they are the sons of the kingdom. the tares are the sons of the evil one. So in the world, we have been sown as seed to produce fruit. The enemy has also sown seed to stop that fruit. But guess what? We win. So we have to learn to subdue and overcome the enemy that's trying to stop us fulfilling that. Matthew 13:31, another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in his field. This is smaller than all the other seeds. You know, this started from a few people in a little place in Jerusalem. Now there's a billion people who profess Christ around the world. So it's grown quite a lot, but it's not brought restoration, just numbers. It's a lot of quantity, but not that much quality. God wants to see the quality, the representation of what that should be. But when it was full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. So again, this is like the mountain of the house of the Lord. This tree will be bigger than all the other trees. Verse 33, another parable. Kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which is like yeast. A woman took and hid it in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened. See, when you get leaven, it doesn't stay in one place. It's supposed to spread to fill the whole dough. So we have been sown into the world as leaven to expand and fill the world with influence of the kingdom. We're called to infiltrate, influence the world, to restore it to its original condition and ownership, which is ours. God gave it to us. He gave Adam and Eve the responsibility for it, and he's wanting us to take that responsibility back. And it isn't just this world either. It's the whole of creation. Romans 8:19, for the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. So the whole of creation is groaning, waiting for us to get our act together and actually be representatives of heaven, ambassadors of heaven on the earth. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. We are the hope that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's who we are called to be. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Another version says, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below. And I really like that, because we're supposed to put the world right. But we have to do it from above into below. John 18:37, I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. John 17:18, and you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. So we're sent into the world as kings, to rule as royal priests. Revelation 1:6, he has made us to be a kingdom of priests. Revelation 5:10, we are made to be a kingdom of priests to reign on the earth. Ephesians 2:6, and he's raised us up and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus to reign in heaven, so that the kingdom can come from heaven to earth. That is who we're called to be. We're called to be that. But we need to seek first his kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If we don't put the kingdom first, if we put our own kingdom first, if we do things for ourselves, then we don't carry the authority of heaven. We need to seek first the kingdom. And all it is seek first the kingdom. Nothing else. Just seek first the kingdom. Anything else is a construct of religion. Just seek first the kingdom. Don't put any other priorities and orders on your life. It is seek first the kingdom, not seek first this and then second and then that. It's seek first the kingdom. That means living for and from the kingdom first. Above everything else, walking by faith. Because the kingdom is a kingdom which is accessed through faith. So our sphere of authority, the kingdom, is within us, but it should be manifested through us and around us to expand. So we have special authority, spiritual authority, and that releases natural influence. Whoever is ruling in the spiritual environment has influence in the natural one, which is why the atmospheres are so important to deal with, because we are subject to what we're under. That's why we're looking to open up portals into heaven, open up heaven, so that we're living under heaven, not the atmosphere of the earth. But we need to learn how to take authority in that. Every one of us has a sphere of authority over which we're supposed to rule. Every single person has been given a destiny with authority to rule and establish the kingdom through their lives. Individually and together as living stones of this ecclesia, this embassy of heaven, we're called as those living stones to demonstrate God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. John 1:4-17 says, as he is, so also are we in this world. So think of that. And it's a good scripture to meditate on to get a fullness of what as he is. Because we need to know who he is so we can know who we are in this world. What does it mean? Actually, what it says, God is on his throne. So as he is, so are we. God is above all authority. So as he is, so are we. God is engaging in assigning the angelic realm all the time. So he is, so are we. God is the way, the truth, and the life. So we are to be that to the world, to demonstrate what it is to live as the way of fulfilling God's kingdom and God's purpose. All of us has that authority. Ephesians 1:20 talks about that Jesus was seated at the right hand of authority in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. So who is his feet? We are. And he gave him as head over all things to the church. So when Jesus is the head and we're his body, everything should be subject under our feet. How is that going to be? Only when we're above everything in the realms of heaven. So we are ambassadors of heaven on the earth to represent the interests of God's kingdom. All of us. We have higher authority behind us, authority which is above every authority that exists. And we're seated with him in that place of authority. We need to learn how to exercise and use that authority, because you can be seated there, and if you don't do anything, what's the point? It might be a nice comfortable seat, but it's about ruling. That's what it is. Being seated is in a place of rest to rule. So we're positioned, he's positioned us, so everything is under our feet as his body on the earth. So there's greater authority comes greater responsibility. So there are higher standards of behavior for sons of the kingdom, and it all centers on love. We represent heaven's values, the superior authority, the values, the ideals, the principles, the power, the wisdom of heaven. The manifesto of the kingdom, Jesus came and presented that, is about love, expressed in righteousness. Jesus summed everything up in love. Because when we're talking about the kingdom, we can think about almost military might. And it isn't like that. Our weapons are love. Matthew 22:37, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So everything that was written, everything that needs to be restored, is based in love. Experiencing love and then demonstrating love in God's kingdom. And we need to learn a whole different way of what love is and how God expresses his love. And no doubt we'll do that. So are we willing to be ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven on the earth? Question mark. Because it's a choice. You have a choice whether you want to be part of this or not. If you want to be part of it, if you want to demonstrate God's kingdom, you just have to submit and surrender your life to be a son of God. So I'm going to read a declaration. I'd encourage you, if you want to say yes, I want to be an ambassador, to read it along with me. If you don't, then don't. But here's an opportunity of saying yes to God. I choose to accept my commission as an ambassador of heaven on earth. I choose to live according to the principles of heaven. I choose to receive my direction and protection from heaven. I choose to live from the resources of heaven. I choose not to be influenced by the ideals, culture, and philosophy of earth. I choose to become an agent of the counterculture of heaven. I choose to live a supernatural lifestyle with a higher level of authority. I choose to be an example of kingdom attitudes and character of Jesus. I choose to demonstrate the good news of Jesus in word and deed. I choose to be salt and light in my world. I am a minister of reconciliation to make disciples for the kingdom of God. I am an ambassador of heaven to transform the earth. Well, If you've said yes to that, then we now need to start learning how to do that. And that's why we're teaching all these things, to equip and help us become the Joshua generation who will reach a harvest, be ready to receive a harvest, who will be reflecting God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.